The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Routine for all.
No, listen, we can't be upsetting any. We can't be upsetting Christianity to start a week here on Footy Prime. So we
but when, at Easter, when he turned all the loaves of bread, it turned into loaves of, or it turned into poutine, right?
Yes, that was a Quebecois Jesus.
Otherwise, my blood is the gravy.
There's actually down the road from me. There's a house. It's a nice house, and on the front lawn, they've got the house number, the street name on this lovely wooden panel, and these two angels. And then there's a huge crucifix behind it. Oh. Every Easter, I'm expecting to see some kind of depiction of the crucifixion. You know how they do it in some countries? It's really weird. Like, people actually get crucified.
And they like move down the street with like the mob of people, right?
Yeah. Carried on the cross. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
I keep hoping to see that every Easter. It doesn't happen, though. Letting themselves down. Can't believe that much, I guess. Anyway, listen. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. What a weekend it was. Now, we got to start. I don't know about you guys. I felt so proud on Friday when I saw these. I wasn't at the game, but I saw these snapshots and videos and et cetera, coming down from a packed BMO field. Because I like to think that we're the people that made Jimmy Brennan who he is. And then we get to see this, the adoration cast down towards our Jimbo as TFC's All-Stars play Brazil's All-Stars. Jimmy Brennan on the pitch with some of the greatest players of the modern era, including Ronaldinho, who kind of overshadowed everyone else, it seemed, from what I saw. Everyone was there to see Ronaldinho, but there's a picture we put on the dark web, and then we put it on our various social channels, of Jimmy and Ronaldinho. It's a great picture. Like, it's a really great picture. But Jimmy, tell us, I mean, how was that as a whole? How was the whole night?
Yeah, it was okay. You know?
Great content.
Yeah. It was all right, whatever. No, it was amazing. It really was. You know, from the Thursday night where we all went out together, the Brazilian team and the TFC team, we went out for dinner. That just got the ball rolling. And then obviously for the match was, it was incredible. It was so much fun. I was thinking to myself, I was only going to last maybe 10 minutes, 10, 15. I was like, that's it, me. I'm finished. But then when you get out there, you start knocking the ball and it's a good little standard. You know, it's not crazy. Guys aren't going over the top. And I ended up playing 50 minutes. Now, I paid for it over the last 2 days. My back, my hamstrings, I'm in bits, like I'm walking like I'm 80. But the whole occasion, the event, it was first class. It was really good. You could see just even in the dressing room, the guys were just excited just to be back in the dressing room, getting changed, right? Going back to your old routines that you used to have. And then just seeing a lot of familiar faces that I haven't seen in so long. And then walking out to the pitch, 35,000 people there, and It really was a lot of fun. It was great banter on the pitch as well. Obviously, everybody hammering the referee, which we do all those. And then during the match, just standing in the middle, the center circle, having a chat with Ronaldinho and asking him, hey, how are you enjoying yourself? He goes, oh, I love it. I love this city, man. He goes, you're going to party with us after? I was like, buddy, no, I'm going to the Brazen Head. I'm going to have some chicken wings. I'm going home because I'm knackered. But he loved the city. He loved it. Absolutely loved it and had a great time. The whole game, he was just smiling, laughing. And, you know, sometimes when you play against guys like that, you think, you know, they got this ego and they're above everybody else. But you get to know that individual and what a chilled, happy-go-lucky guy, man. He was awesome. Really, really cool. And it was so much fun.
I get the impression that Ronaldinho loves every city he goes to.
Oh, 100%.
He has a good time. He's one of those guys. I mean, watching him play throughout his career, I know he had that look, that profile, that face, that he's always smiling, but he seemed to genuinely always enjoy playing football. No one played with more joy than Ronaldinho. And yeah. That continues now as he gets into his, what is it? How old is he now? Is he mid-40s?
I don't know. I didn't ask him. I should have asked him. I asked him quite a bit, but that was one thing I didn't
Jimmy
say.
Jimmy was too busy breathing out his ass.
It was.
When did he claw out of his pocket? No, I mean, he's still got it though, right? The touch?
46.
Oh, yeah.
46. Wow.
Yeah, he's got a great little touch, and he still has that little move that sends you the opposite way. He sent me the opposite way. Went around me, and I was like, fuck, you know, this guy still got it.
Did you catch him?
No, you nuts, man. I didn't catch anybody.
Did he do the Jimmy? Did he drop the shoulder at anybody?
Yeah. I did. I once or twice just dropped the little
move?
Shoulder. And
yeah, the move.
And then, yeah, and then sprayed it.
Somewhere in Germany.
I was like a sprinkler. Like just spraying.
Jimmy, I have a couple of questions for you. One, did you wear underwear? What do you wear when you're playing? Or do you go commando?
Yeah, no, I have to because otherwise it's...
Jingling.
Yeah, you're juggling with your knees after.
Yeah. Good for you. Congratulations. Number two, rank the events. Playing with Ronaldinho, scoring that goal on the PK, or having 30,000 people sing happy birthday to you. Mm. Which one was most memorable? Because those were pretty big moments in your life. I think it's over now. It's all downhill. But... Those are pretty great.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's sad because that was the last time that my kids will get to see me play, and it'll be the last time that I'm actually going to play a match on BMO, like a good match like that. So
with people. Walking soccer. So,
yeah. but all of it, you know, I couldn't just pick one. I'm walking out and 35,000 there was amazing. I think the birthday when everybody was singing, and that caught me off guard. I had no idea that that was coming. And that was a truly special moment. And I think just all of it, and the penalty as well, right? Because I wasn't going to take it. Gio was going to take it. So I'm just standing there, and then Gio, the Brazilian guy, comes over and goes, hey, it's your birthday. You're taking this. I was like, all right. Now, in the back of my mind, I was like, fuck, the last time I took a penalty here, I put it over the stands. and it ended up in the water. So I'm like, just hit the target. I'm looking at the keeper, and the keeper's doing his little dance. And I'm like,
fuck, was it Julio Cesar?
No, I can't remember who it was. So anyways, I was like, I'm looking at him, and I'm kind of, you know, my mind saying to his mind, just let this go in, for love of God, please do not save this. And then I'm thinking, do I still have it in my legs to come across my body, or am I going to open up and play it? And I was like, no, I don't trust myself. I'm going to put my head down and ping it down the middle. And so luckily he guessed, he went to his left, and I just put it straight down the middle. I said to him after, I said, you thought I was going in the corner, didn't you? He goes, you're a lefty. He goes, I could have swore you were going to come across your body. I was like, yeah, I couldn't. If I did that, I would have fell over.
Honestly, with all that happening in your head, it's a miracle you got it on frame.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The relief. I was shocked. Keeper, I shocked myself.
I would have stood there.
Oh, I know you would have. You would have drive it in the middle because he's shitting himself.
I know where this is going.
I couldn't believe it, though. Like, Jimmy's stepping up to take the pen. Like, I know the guy was like, take it. It's your birthday. But you've talked about on here all the time about how much you hate taking them.
Yeah,
like, what is happening?
I don't like them. But then you see me after, and I'm giving it one of these, like, yeah, I do this all the time sort of thing. But really, I was shitting myself.
When you're pointing at your back, you're actually pointing at your pants. Going, so I shit myself.
I'm wearing underwear.
I shit myself.
Yeah. If you could rank all the goals you scored in your career, Jimmy, where would that rank?
Oh, it's up there. It's up there.
I bet it is.
Yeah. The technique, I was like, wow.
It's only his third goal. It's up there.
How were your teammates? How'd they fare? How's Jabinko looking? Like he always has, like just scampering around that pitch.
Yeah, he was. He was good. He's still fit. A lot of guys, and we had a couple of younger guys, which was good as well. So like myself and Dero, Altidore, Gio, we all came off at one point, right? And then you let the younger guys go and, you know, they take the meat of the game sort of thing. And then we came on probably with about maybe 30 minutes to go to finish off the match again. And it was great. We're just warming up and we're like, okay, let's get at this again. It was fun. The guys had such a laugh. It was amazing. The banter on the pitch was great as well. So it truly was a memorable moment for me, for sure. Yeah, I loved it. Really did.
Was there anybody that was served a massive reality check, like when they gave their sizing for their kit to the kit manager and to TFC, but then they actually put it on and they're like, oh, fuck, I'm not a medium.
Yeah. Daniil Henry. Honestly, he looked like a doorman. Jesus, are you security or are you playing today? What's going on?
He's been eating cushions. Oh.
But Daniil's such a great, he's the best guy in the world. He's such mm-hmm. a good guy. But it was so funny. He goes, are these junior socks?
Actually, the socks were the least of his problems.
I told him, I was like, Daniil, I said, look, put some Vaseline on your legs. It'll slide right
up. He's gained weight in his calves too, right?
Oh, man.
Hey, man, that's fine. I get it. He's former pros, finished playing. Like, you've mm-hmm. trained all your career. Like, to hell with that, man.
Yeah.
Gonna let loose for a bit.
Look at what dubs. A great event.
35,000 people. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? 35,000 people to come out and see that. It shows there is a real hotbed of football in this city. And then a day later, you get 45,000 to see Messi. Now, I always upset people when this happens, and I'll upset them again. But it is a bit of a testament to where we're at as a football nation, where TFC can't draw 12,000 fans most weeks, and then Messi shows up and it's 45,000. How many of them are going to be showing up, you know, when Messi retires? But we did that last year. I got in a lot of trouble for it. I don't care. But still, 45,000. The new stand. Josh Cloak wrote an article about it in The Athletic, his experience sitting at the very top. You should read it. And the comments too. People got really angry with him. It's like, settle down. But it looked really good on TV. It looked amazing.
Yeah.
That stadium packed 45,000. It just gave you a hint of what it'll be like at the World Cup.
Yeah, it was amazing. Really was. Seeing, like, when you're at field level and you just look around and you see the stands all packed, it's incredible. It really is incredible. And like you said there, I mean, for a Friday night, you got 35,000. Saturday, TFC and into Miami, 45,000. You're right. It's here. You know, the support is here. This is a football city. They do support it. But, you know, the stands, yeah, they were steep because my son was up there sitting with his team. And when you're up there, you're looking down, you're like, oh my God, you don't want to stand. You're like, I got to sit down here because they are steep. And then we sat in the north stands, the new suites. Incredible, incredible view. Like I prefer watching the view of a match behind the goal because you see everything. You see the movements, the patterns, as opposed to sitting on the sides, right?
So, like your tactical view.
Yeah, it really is. But the new suites are incredible as well. Now, the only problem that they're going to have is getting out of that place when the World Cup starts, because it was a disaster after the match. Mm-hmm. People trying to get onto trains, 45,000 people all just going to the GO station. It was
a small platform, isn't it, to get through there?
Yeah. Well, you think that you had TFC playing. On the Friday, you had the Legends game. Then you had the Tempo game. And the Temple play right beside BMO Field. That's so right, yeah. The traffic was nuts. And the Jays were playing as well with TFC. And
they closed the DVP for the weekend.
They closed the DVP. Took me 2 hours to get home.
Christ.
And then AFC Toronto were playing on the Sunday as well, because they're splitting like half of their home games are at BMO Field this year.
Right.
They still haven't managed to win. It should be noted. But Oso was talking about the quality of the pitch. So you were on it, Jimmy. So I want to ask you two things. So your perspective from the pitch, not just at the Miami game, but like being a player on there, comparing it to when you first came over and played and captained the team in 2007 and kind of seeing out the end of your career, what was it like to have that imposing fans and like the everybody on top of you? Like, did you notice a difference?
Yeah, you notice a difference when you're at field level for sure. It's a lot louder as well. It looks like a proper stadium when you're down at pitch level now. And the pitch needs plenty of time to rest because it wasn't the best. Didn't play like you think it would, but that's going to take some time to eventually get that right. But overall, I love the look of the stadium. Now it's going to be sad when those stands come down. And then they're going to put a party zone on top of the new suites, which is going to be pretty cool. But yeah, when you look at it and you think if that was permanent, those stands, it would just finish the stadium because it looks amazing at field level.
Yeah, it does show what could be, right? Eventually, keep building this game. And it's amazing what a bit of winning does, because TFC obviously used to sell out every single week, and they'll do it again when they start winning again on a regular basis. And who knows, you know, down the line, could they do that? People are freaking out about these stands, though, and I think Josh is wondering how it felt like it was swaying at times. Mm-hmm. And people wouldn't stand up. But listen, I wouldn't be concerned about the thing collapsing. I know there's a lot of people saying, well, I wouldn't go up there. Wouldn't take my family. This company that does this around the world, I think they know what their shit. I think they know what they're doing. I think they understand the engineering behind such temporary stands. Okay, so I'm not going on it. I'm joking.
For $2,300 a ticket too.
Yeah, there was some left, right? For the first game, there are some tickets left, and I think they started.
There's like thousands of tickets left for Canada Bosnia.
Is it thousands? Yeah,
thousands.
And the cheapest is $1,300. That's why. But who knows by this point? Anyway. We could get into that right now, but what a good weekend though, and even seeing Leo Messi put on a show as well for Miami. He became the quickest player to 100 goal contributions in MLS history. It took him 64 games. He beat Jovinko, who did it in 95 games.
Wow. Was that the closest? Was that the closest before?
Yeah.
Holy.
That's amazing.
It's pretty good.
At his age, like,
yeah.
I know it's the 13th best in the league in the world or whatever, but still.
It's incredible, right?
He's so good. That was the first time I saw him live. His touch, his movement. There was one ball that Suarez is probably maybe, I'm not lying, maybe 12, 14 yards away, and he just rifles at him, at Messi. And Messi in full stride just takes a touch with his inner thigh, lands just in front of him, bang, shot. And I was like, holy shit. And I was sitting beside Carl Robinson. And I was like, Rob, I said, he makes this look so easy. People don't realize how difficult that is. Full stride, bring that ball down, set yourself up and have a strike.
Yeah.
He's just so good.
I know. Like, what can you say? It sounds like, oh, he's so good. Of course he is. But when you see him live, you don't really appreciate, I don't think, the full Messi experience till you do get a chance to watch him. Just watch him. Because when you go and see an Inter Miami match, I'm sure it's the same for Argentina. You don't watch the match. You watch Messi, right? That's what in my limited time watching him, three games, I think, it's like you can't take your eyes off him.
Yeah. And box office.
Yeah. Yeah. Just wandering around, not doing much. Then they said the quick touch and the little things that most human beings couldn't even consider, just no problem at all.
Yeah.
It's almost like the way that he's managed his aging and still is able to be brilliant. Even though everybody knows, they understand they have to man mark him or they have to have a plan in order to contend with Messi. But the way that he walks and the way that he seems to kind of ebb out of the game allows him to fly under the radar, even though he's Messi, that you can expect it. You always have to keep an eye on him. But because he kind of seems to check out of the game, it allows him to be more elusive, even though he's Messi, if that makes sense.
Well, the goal he scored. You see the goal he scored on the weekend? I mean, how do you leave Lionel Messi that open in the area? Right? It's, I mean, Robin Fraser must have been having conniptions on the bench going, oh, like of all the people in the world that have ever played the game, like, that's probably not the guy you leave.
Yeah. Yeah, but you could see how you can, you could lose him is because just the way that he plays, he walks and he just drifts all over the place. He doesn't get involved. And then all of a sudden he just shows up and it's like, bang, shot, yeah. Goal.
It's like he sees things like four or five steps ahead of every other human being.
Yeah.
Because when he decides to go, he always seems to be at the, it makes that run. It's at the right time. He's in the right place. And you, like you say, Jimmy, his touch is still majestic.
Yeah.
Who was it was on the show recently? Who the hell was it saying that when he was playing Messi, he found himself watching him too much? They had to go, oh, yeah, wait. I've got to actually worry about the match here, the game.
Was it when you guys had Yarborough on?
No, it wasn't William. No, it was, Kalen? It was a couple of weeks ago.
Mm. John?
John who?
I don't know. I'm just naming names. Trying to help you out.
It was John.
Yeah. Good guy.
Great guy.
It was John.
Focus too much on Messi, but good guy. Yeah. But yeah, that was, it was a fun match to watch. Whether you're a TFC fan, maybe not, but they came on late again, showing some good resilience, but too late again, getting pounded there by just a team that is pretty special. Montreal beat Orlando late in that one, Dubs, and, Max under fire once again. Lots of attacks, lots of opportunities.
Couldn't do a whole lot on those two goals, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last one was Thorhalsson on his old team, so he was thrilled. That was in like really deep into stoppage time. But the pen, I mean, I think you saw Montreal pushing. And this is a team that's been transformed, right, since the coaching change. And it was good to see them come up with the win at the end. You see a lot of these teams, especially our Canadian MLS teams, where you're giving up that late goal. You can't seem to see a game out. So it was good for them and good for that home team or the fans to see them finally get something over the line and a nice day at Stade Saputo and not tons of people, maybe a half-filled stadium, but doing the right things and getting the result. But a homecoming for Max that was ruined by the home team finishing out on top.
Yeah. But listen, give Montreal credit, right? I mean, they've turned it around. They really have. And I don't know whether they can sustain it throughout the season. We'll find out. But certainly, where I mean, they still can't, like I said, put bums in seats, unfortunately. And there's still some bigger existential crisis there, perhaps. But from a footballing standpoint, they're getting it done. Not nearly as bad as we thought they were earlier in the season. Vancouver draw again, Craig. Second time in a row against San Jose in the league, at least.
Yeah, they watched a bit of that. They deserve something from it for sure. They were pressing, conceded early, and then had a lot of possession, a lot of chances. They are a very good side. Like San Jose is right up there, like in the table. But for me, Vancouver, they're a better side than San Jose.
Our builder parlay didn't come through. Just so you know, we did one on Friday. With BetMGM, and you guys let me down. I put $2 on that.
I think my over checked out, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yours came through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the TFC.
Who chose Montreal? Out. Because I listened to it and I forget who chose Montreal. Orlando. It's Jimmy. Jimmy had a great weekend, but he chose Orlando over Montreal for that match. So he let you down.
Can't blame him, though. I think I would have probably chosen Orlando as well and backed Max over Montreal.
Yeah. Well, I watched the highlights. And you know when you're watching a highlight pack and you're sitting there going, did Orlando do anything this game? Because it was 90% highlights of CF Montreal. Everything was CF Montreal in the highlight pack. So it was quite, you know, deserving. Yeah.
They were busier in the first half. But the shots that they did get on frame, they didn't really test Gillier. But it has to be said, Forrest, I wanted to ask you if you saw the highlights or saw the team. Orlando's away kit looked like a team full of goalkeeper kit.
Is that right?
Can we do a little bit better here?
Maybe they're trying to change it up, put Max in an out shirt. And then
that's right.
And goalkeeper shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando's not a good team. They're not a good side, and they can see chances. But good for the highlight reel for Max, but it's not like he's going to be short of practice.
Practice.
listen, so we'll get to some Premier League in a little bit and some NSL. But we have got a new segment starting today, every day up until now in the World Cup. It's looking at the World Cup. It's big questions to contemplate as we look ahead to the summer of 2026.
One, two, three, four.
Ring, ring, what's that sound? Big question that needs answer. Ring.
What was the question again?
It's the first time we heard that. So I on Saturday I said, hey, listen, we've got this new segment on Monday. JC, can you put together a brilliant opening as you always do? And Dubs, within about 6 seconds, replied with a voice note. With that, just the bare vocals of Dubs. And we thought, that thanks, Amy. That's nice.
Job done.
It turns out it really helped JC. Can you play that again?
One, two, three, four.
Ring, ring, what's that sound? Big question that needs answer. Ring.
What was the question again?
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my gosh. That's
great. So, yeah, big questions for the World Cup.
No, wait. Before the World Cup, what are you singing, Amy Dubs Walsh? What are you even saying?
I don't even remember.
Ring, ring, what's that sense? Big question that needs answering.
It almost rhymes.
Tapping into my inner hillbilly.
Somehow you did it like perfectly on so that it fit as, that was the only thing I could do with it. I'm like, oh, this is like a hoedown.
Yes.
There you go.
All right, so listen.
I apologize, listeners.
Today's first big question as we look ahead to the World Cup is, the old guard are set to say farewell. We're talking Leo Messi, Ronaldo, Robert Lewandowski, Neymar, maybe if he gets in there, Heung-min Son, Harry Kane, maybe, Luka Modric. Who will have the best performance, or who do you want to see at the best performance? Take it where you like from the old guard at this year's World Cup. Craig, let's start with you. Who are you thinking of?
None of those.
None of your suggestions, Pyman.
Edin Dzeko for me. At the age of 40, still doing it. Takes a late move to January to Schalke in Bundesliga 2. Massively effective. Became a fan favorite almost overnight there. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him professionally at the club level after the World Cup, because now they're back into the Bundesliga getting promoted. Does he stay there? You know, what is his move? He had opportunities to move to other clubs, probably bigger clubs than this, but I don't think it's about money for Edin Dzeko at this point. But what an incredible career when you go back. I mean, won the Bundesliga with Wolfsburg. Massive part of Man City winning their first Premier League title, scoring goals for his national team, massive effect on that for the World Cup qualifying campaign, super effective against the Welsh national team, didn't score against the Italians, but was making runs in the extra time down the line and ends up hurting his shoulder late in the game, if you remember. So he was all strapped up, but he's an absolute warrior and he's going to be a difficult, he'll be a handful for Canada in the World Cup. Even at the age of 40, I think he's going to be representing his country very well. And I think he's still got something left in him in the tank. Whether he does that in club level next year, that's another question. But he will be there in the World Cup for Bosnia. And I expect good things from him. Unfortunately, hopefully he's not Canada's nightmare.
He's such a clever player, though, isn't he?
Oh, what a player.
Yeah.
What a player.
Really popular. In the Prem, people loved him there as well. Even when you weren't a City fan. You had to appreciate what Dzeko did. Mm-hmm. Always kind of under the radar, wasn't he? He never was that, you know, box office marquee guy, but man, just got it done wherever he played.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, exactly. And then Inter Milan as well. Good wherever he's been.
So this year, World Cup, so you got Lewandowski. Yeah, Lewandowski, who I'll check, he's got to be almost 40, but you have Modric, who's 40, Ronaldo, 40. Mm-hmm. Dzeko, 40. There must be more 40-year-old out players at this year's World Cup than ever before, right? I'm assuming.
Oh, I would think so.
Yes.
I remember it was a big deal when Dino Zoff won the World Cup. What, he was, 41?
Yeah.
In 1982?
Goalkeeper, though, right? And can you see
that? Yeah, a goalkeeper. That's, yeah, exactly. But out players, you know, I guess a lot of has to do with, I mean, obviously the modern day style you can play. I think injuries are probably a little less. Challenges are not as harsh as they used to be. And diet, health and fitness, like the way they've been able to look after themselves at a level where they can keep playing at 40.
Do we think the pendulum hammies and stuff, isn't it?
Sorry.
Not the old guys. So go ahead, Debs.
I was going to say, do we think the pendulum swings back the other way? So now you see some of these older guys at the tail end of this middle generation with obviously generational talents within all the players that you just mentioned there, Sharm. So maybe that's the outlier, but all these guys may be benefiting in the advancements in technology and the medical teams and diet, as you're saying, Forrest, as you kind of the Wenger influence, you move away from like the pub and the shitty diet and all of the benefits of around the game. And then now just because of the fixture congestion, all the games that the players are playing, the money hungry governing body and like more tournaments on the docket, like, I think we maybe see, you know, Davies, these injuries that he's picking up, become more of the norm, that maybe players now don't have the longevity of career that some of these guys now at 40 or close to it are having.
Yeah, he could well.
No, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Lots of football, a lot more football than ever before.
Yeah. But you also think as well, you know, what about, you know, these younger players that are coming in? I mean, guys are making the debuts 16, 17, 18 years old now. Mm-hmm. And by the time they're 20, they've already got over 100 games under their belt. So are we going to see guys retiring early as opposed to a lot of guys playing to your 40? Because, I mean, you look at like Leonard Carl or Yamal from Barcelona. These guys have played a lot of games already for teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Arda Güler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, so how do you? Yeah.
Yeah. And you wonder, it's not as if money will be a motivation to keep playing. Right, they're going to be rich, rich beyond belief.
Yeah,
right? Multi-millionaire at 22.
Yeah, right. I see Nico Williams just did his hamstring for Barcelona yesterday. He's a real question mark now for the World Cup. Another hamstring. That's the injury du jour, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Dubs, who are you going to look to outperform the other old geezers?
Well, I love Forrest's shout, and I actually had more to mind there just talking about with our center back issue and injury crisis with Canada, like how we expect to manage a player like him as that big target, especially on set pieces. But we can move on and maybe loop back to that. But another player who caused fits for Canada at the last World Cup in Luka Modric, with Croatia being in their group. So, I mean, he's a legend, right? And so he's injured currently. I think he had like a fracture of his left cheekbone. Yeah, but it was a double fracture. So it was like complex surgery, or based on what I read during Milan's draw with Juventus. But I think for his national team, like this is a guy in his group L. So I think really good chances of going through England's group, James Sharman. England, Ghana, and Panama. So I think...
Stop singing.
Modric.
We've been through this today already.
More singing.
Yes.
More dumb singing.
I'll see if I can find more moments to contribute my outstanding voice. But it's just this guy, I just marvel at him continually. So he doesn't look like a footballer that would cause you any issues. Like he looks, you know, a little bit diminutive, doesn't look like he's that strong, doesn't look like he's got like an engine, but he's got all of those things. And obviously technical ability in spades, incredible cleverness and intelligence on the ball. And so we talked about Messi to start off the show. I'm not going to compare them and contrast them, but the same way that Messi has figured out how to age into a different kind of brilliance, Modric does the same thing. And I think his defensive ability is underrated, his timing on tackles, the way he finds the right spaces to help his team out when they're out of possession as well. But the way that he can be elusive between the lines, the way he can escape pressure, the way that he dictates the tempo. But again, doing it in a way that suits him.
Did you
sorry,
get it?
Just struggling with a little bit of allergies.
All right.
It's not really affecting my voice, guys. Don't worry. But yeah, just the way that he finds the pockets, you know, whether it's the attacking pocket or just finds these little moments to influence the game. And he remains a game changer at 40. So he's going to do that again for Croatia. And I'm not really worried about the injury that he picked up, even though when you think about your face, you think about how important your breathing is as a footballer, as an athlete, it might be something that might, it will affect him for the World Cup. But I'm not worried about Modric and his influence and the way that he impacts this World Cup, not just for Croatia, but that he's going to be an outstanding player amongst stars and 48 teams.
Croatia's been old for about 10 years.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
But they still, every tournament, it seems, or weren't great last time out, but generally speaking, they perform and they're tough to beat.
Yes. And they're continually underestimated and seem to be too old. That's the knock against them. But I would say that they've been able to rise above it, and they have that wily veteran aspect to it. They still start. A lot of their players that are going to be highly influential are older, and they seem to do it in a better way than, say, the Belgian team, where this golden generation that's aging, but they seem to be kind of fuzzy, strawberry, moldy, like fruit that's gone bad. It's just gone off in a counter. Whereas I think for Croatia, it's one of these things where the value is appreciating versus, you know, the fruit that has to be put into the, you know, organic post and the, or the, that little pile and the organi back.
Just a note too, this is Amy Walsh currying favor with the Croatian diaspora in Canada. So sponsored, well done, by Amy.
Jimmy, who's standing out to you? That you would love to see have a great World Cup.
I'm going to go with England, and I'm going to say Harry Kane, because I think he's been absolutely brilliant at Bayern over the last number of years. This year, what has he got? 58 goals already in the season. So I think England's just crying out for some achievement. And I think with the players that they have, and if they can get Harry Kane continuing his form, can he be the difference maker that can actually get England to the World Cup? I'm going to be interested to see how the players surrounding him perform. Because obviously he's used to, you know, Lisa and all Luis Diaz and all these players that are around him, making him a better player and providing him service so that he can score goals. So I'm going to be interested to see how England fares with Harry Kane in form at the moment, and can they utilize him the right way and get him the ball?
It's a rather sprightly 32, though, isn't he?
Who? Yeah, but you got to think, four years. Will he be around in 36?
Well, that's the other thing. Is he going to be playing at 36?
Well, sure. I mean, we're talking about players extending their careers. A lot of players will quit their international sides to extend their careers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He never relied on his pace. And he's so clever, right? So maybe he'll be around in 4 years' time. It's not as if England has a wealth of great strikers coming through the ranks.
No.
Right? They might need him, but Harry Kane at 32 is playing the best football of his career. Not many guys can say that about.
The best. Best football he's played in his life.
He's incredible. Like a goal a game player at Bayern Munich. Yeah. Oh, but the Bundesliga, you know, it's weak beyond the first two. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. I like that one. Wonga, do you have anyone?
The only one I could think of, and people might get mad at me about it, it's this guy's been around for a while. And he'll be making his comeback at FIFA, and it's Craig Forrest.
At FIFA? At the World Cup?
At FIFA? No, at FIFA.
At the World Cup.
Yeah, at FIFA, because he's going to be working at FIFA.
Oh, okay.
He's going to be doing color, which he hasn't done in ages. Craig, are you nervous? You've got 7 games on the international feed. This is your comeback. We're going to be seeing, like, this is a pass or fail. There's a lot of pressure on you.
Well, I wasn't really thinking about that until now, but thanks a lot.
No pressure.
No, but you're calling 7 games. This is kind of fun for you, eh?
Yeah, no, it is for sure. For sure. I mean, I'm just going to, you know, the difficult part is a guy that's doing the actual play-by-play. For me, I think that's the most difficult part.
Yeah. Have you sent the research back yet?
Here and there with some little tidbits, but
right. Have they sent the research pack? You know, where they send, oh, these are the teams you're covering. Have they sent that yet?
Not yet. Okay. But we do have a meeting actually at about 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. That's
the show. James Sherman. No, yeah. I just want to say, not in defense of Craig Forrest, because I know that you're just teasing him, Wonger, but I hit up Forrest yesterday for his perspective on a goal in NSL, where I thought the AFC keeper maybe could have done better. But as a player, as a midfielder, I always defer to the experts. And so I happen to have a couple of them on speed dial, including Craig Forrest and friend of the show, Aaron McLeod. So Forrest, when he's in his element, which is football, he gets right back into the rhythm of the thing. So the only thing he's going to have to adapt to is the rhythm of the play-by-play person that he's paired with. Do you know, Forrest, mm-hmm. are you going to be with the same person over the course of the 7 matches, or will it change?
Yeah.
So you're golden. You're going to be perfect. I can't wait to listen to you.
And the first rhythm method is what they call it.
That's right. That's why I have twins.
That's right.
Who's your play-by-play, Craig?
Stowell. David Stowell.
David Stowell.
Yeah, he's really good. They're all good at that level. Yeah. Come on, they're fantastic.
Davey.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Sharms, while we're talking about Kreger, should we have that fun little thing we were going to do?
What thing? Oh, yeah, that's it, because he's got a lead apparently in 15 minutes. Yeah, so, yeah, let's do that now.
So this is coming out early. You'll hear it on audio. You'll see it this week.
But like 30,000 people at once.
Long before Craig Forrest was playing in packed stadiums, he was playing on these parks in Coquitlam. But soccer was the last sport he'd pick up.
Happened to play select hockey against Craig, and both lacrosse and soccer with him. So it was that's kind of how we got to know each other first and foremost on the playing field.
Ken Thomas was part of the recruitment team that convinced Forrest to give soccer a try when he was 12 years old.
And we had this lacrosse tournament back in the Canadian Championships under 13s in Brampton, Ontario. First time I ever traveled on a plane to go back there. And then one of the goalkeeper for the soccer team in Coquitlam, Bel-Air City, he was part of that team and was going to RV it back across Canada with his family. So he was going to get back for the tournament and said, hey, do you want to try it? So, yeah, okay, I'll give it a go. So I literally knew nothing about the position or anything. I remember the first goal, I ran out of the box way too early, confronted this guy on a breakaway, and he just chipped it over me into the empty net. And I was like, okay, lesson number one. Okay, we'll figure this out.
Forrest figured it out instantly. Within 3 years, he was playing on the BC provincial team, earning call-ups with the Vancouver Firefighters men's side before leaving town as a 16-year-old.
We were on a trial together for a select team in Coquitlam in the district. But he didn't stay for the team because that's right when he got scouted to go to go for a trial in England at Ipswich Town.
We thought he'd be back in a month. There's no way you're going to make it, a Coquitlam kid, you know, traveling by yourself to England to be a professional footballer.
First thing you realize when you get on trial over in England and you're in a professional environment that you're not playing for fun anymore. There's people's jaws on the line.
Forrest would go on to make more than 300 professional appearances in England, earn 56 caps for Canada, and win MVP of the 2000 Gold Cup. Still the country's biggest achievement in men's soccer.
An impossibility of what they did and what he did, stopping penalties and standing on his head, as they say. It's too bad we don't get to see those highlights more often. They should be nice rerun all the time.
What did he rank for you, Canadian soccer players?
Oh, he's got to be number one. For sure, that's goalkeeper. Sorry to Pat and Dolly, but Craig was the man.
That's great.
Up on there, so good.
Forrestro.
Global TV there in Van. That's great. Is that the first time you've seen it, Craig?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not seen it. I know Ace asked me to come out to, if I could probably go out to Coquitlam and do an interview. And I thought it was going to be a, you know, edited 2-minute piece, minute and a half, something like that. I had no idea. And then I had some friends saying that Ace is trying to get a hold of some people in Coquitlam and want to do interviews with them. So I had a feeling it was becoming a little bit more than just a quick interview with myself. So, yeah,
would you say that
pretty nice Asa seeing those guys. Pardon me?
Would you say that Asa took advantage of you?
Very sneaky. Very sneaky.
Underhanded.
Very underhanded. Yeah. That's a great
inscrutable. Inscrutable.
Yeah.
No, that's nice though. So those old teammates of yours, do you keep in touch with them, or were you surprised to see them?
Yeah, except for Kenny Thomas. I haven't seen Kenny for years, but played lacrosse since I was, I think he was on the team when I was 5 years old till 12. So we
had
a shit hot lacrosse team. I tell you, I don't think first game we lost it from 5 to 12. Well, it was when we were 12 years old, was our first loss. We just won every freaking game, dominated lacrosse at that age group in BC.
Craig lost one game in lacrosse and that broke him. So he switched to soccer.
Like, get out of here. Sport sucks.
And it happened to be the team from Saanich, Victoria, with the Pepper twins, identical guys, twins. And then they had the Gate twins. And Gary Gate ended up going on to be arguably the best lacrosse player that's ever played the game, and known as a Wayne Gretzky of lacrosse.
Wow. Gary Gate. Didn't he play for the Rock?
He did play some professional. He also played outdoor. I think it was Syracuse University. Mm-hmm. So he adapted his game to the outdoor game and was very successful with that as well.
Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and sit up and go, oh my God, I made the wrong choice?
I should have stopped. No.
Oh, no. I was gonna answer for you, and I was gonna say every day when I'm on Walker's couch.
Right. Yeah. I understood at a very young age that as much as I love the sport of lacrosse, the future and the potential for professional lacrosse was not happening, So
what about judo? You could have been the greatest judo chopper ever.
It's called a judo chop. That's what they call it.
There's no chopping in judo. No,
remember the last time when he lost it? We went judo chopping. He goes, there's no chopping in judo.
So seriously. Personally.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been the best at judo. I would not have been the very best at judo. I'm too tall, and the best guys were a little bit shorter, and they would just cut me in half.
Yeah, but you got pretty high belt, didn't you? What belt were you?
Yeah, one short of the black, yeah.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow, look at this guy.
Mm-hmm. Multi-sport athlete.
Yeah. Do you still have your gi?
Pardon?
Do you still have the outfit?
Somewhere.
You have. Can you wear it out one day?
Oh, yeah.
Where is it? It's out west, but
at 10, he was just 6'1".
Yeah.
Wouldn't fit him.
But because I got into the game football late, I think that there's no question that the multi-sport side of things and the opportunity to have organized sports in Coquitlam and wherever, we took it for granted. I did anyway, because you just didn't know any better until now. I look back on it and think, wow, yeah, the opportunities that we have in Canada is pretty special, and that sort of certainly helped with the ball hand-eye coordination, Mm-hmm. with hockey, lacrosse, soccer. Yeah. Then the judo, just being comfortable with having bodies in around you and being comfortable with the physical aspects of things on set pieces and corners.
Yeah, there it is.
By the way, I just quickly to wrap it up, I love that they showed the save. Forget who it was against now. I mean, it's a terrible penalty.
Trinidad?
But Trinidad. When you braid your teammates to get up the pitch.
I know.
To celebrate the penalty save with you. And then we saw angry Craig. You don't see angry Craig very often, rarely, apart from old highlights. That was my favorite angry Craig.
Yeah, you see it I learned quick. He made a great save one time, and I went over to him. He told me to fuck off. So I was like, okay, I won't go back. So you can see when he saves in the penalty, I'd give it one of these, yes, and I just run away. Yeah. And then the other guy goes towards him, and he's like, fuck off. Get out of here.
Get up.
Yeah. Well, at that stage, there was 10 minutes left, I think, something like that. So we're 2-0 up. Despria takes it. Figured if they scored it, we were going to be under the cosh and might be going extra time. It was important to save it. And then at the same time, I'm old enough, experienced enough to know that things can go freaking sideways really, really quickly. And we're 10 minutes away plus extra time or a time added, might be 15 minutes. That 15 minutes might be the most important 15 minutes of your career. So get the fuck out. has finished this off professionally. I got to get rid of the ball in like 5 seconds.
Yeah. And we got places to be after this game.
Yeah, right.
We can't afford extra time.
We got a table booked.
Yeah.
No, that's great, though. That was great. But it was that Tino Espria, the octopus, right? Hmm? That was Tino Espria?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yeah, he was at Newcastle, I believe, at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. He scored some absolute worldies, that guy. Not great from the spot, apparently. Still, that was great. So that's on Global in Vancouver. And we're going to steal it and stick it on our platforms tomorrow, right, Wanger?
Yeah, that's right. We'll get clearance, which we already have. But we'll start showing it after premieres on Global with Ace.
But everybody should check out the series that Ace is doing, all about grassroots football, kind of using the platform of the World Cup at home to showcase some important people like our Craig Forrest.
Yeah, brilliant. I really appreciate Ace doing that. He's an absolute gem.
He is, does a great job. Talented guy. Okay, listen, before we go, I'll quickly mention that the Premier League situation and a VAR call that was one of the biggest VAR calls all season. It's 1-0 Arsenal late in the game. West Ham attacking from a set piece. They equalize 1-0. But then it goes to VAR, and it turns out that Pablo's arm was up high on David Raya, and the goal is ruled off. People are freaking out. This could relegate West Ham. This could have potentially given Arsenal the championship. Should we be aggrieved, or was it a pretty clear-cut call in the end, Dubs?
I love how you went to me before the guy who played for West Ham. Why don't you go to Craig?
No, I like that. I like that.
Craig got a call. He's got a meeting coming up.
I just think it's one of these things, and Forrest talked about it on the dark web. It's like one of the biggest VAR calls ever, right? And it's VAR and your perspective and the way that it's utilized shouldn't depend on the magnitude of the moment. It should just be applied universally in a measured way. You look at the replay and his arm is clearly across Raya's neck. But I don't know, man. It's a big call. I think it is a foul, so it looks like it is the right call, but it just looks like you're paving the way here for Arsenal to be crowned champions. So again, I'm contradicting myself, because if it's a foul, then VAR is intervened in the way that VAR should be utilized and it's done its job. But there's a lot on the line with this call.
I think the problem is the inconsistency, because Arsenal all season long have done nothing but grab players and take out goalkeepers, and nothing has been done. Mm-hmm. And you look at the photo of even just where the play was taken. Look at the arms of the Arsenal players. They're all over the West Ham players. Mm-hmm. Declan Rice fouled 2 players prior to the ball even getting there. And they don't call that, you know, so... Yeah, I can see why everybody's, from West Ham's point of view, are really ticked off about it. But yes, is it a foul? Yes, it is. It is a foul. But where's the consistency when Arsenal have done nothing but crowd out goalkeepers all season long and nothing's been done? So now they're crying foul when it happens against them, and it's worked out. But for West Ham, that may be the call that is enough to put them into relegation.
I know you have to go, Forrest, but it's a goalkeeper. You're a goalkeeper. So it's not just crowding Raya and his ability to maybe get up and get up off the ground to try to parry that away, but it's an arm using, like, trying to pin him down. So it's preventing him from doing something. So as a goalkeeper, do you not want that called?
Yeah, no, I want it called. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I do. And that never used to be called, because that used to be very common, and referees would never give that.
But then he flops afterwards too, which I didn't like very much. But the official call is from VAR was that Pablo's arm was in an unnecessary position across Arsenal's Raya's chest and clearly impeded his ability to move and catch the ball, which it did.
Mm-hmm. Which it did.
It's a tough one. Like, if you remove the context and everything else from this season, it's a foul. Mm-hmm. Right.
Could they have looked at, say, okay, prior to the ball even getting there, is that a penalty on Declan Rice? Is it like, he's mauling 2 players? They do that all the time, and they take risks, Arsenal, by grabbing players all the time. It's just something that they do, and have been incredibly successful at it too, right? So,
on the bright side, it saved us having to hear from Mikel Arteta whining about a call not going their way. And it's that true. I'm grateful for.
That's right. Yeah, he was like, oh, the referee is brave there. He made a
brave. That's what he said. He said he was brave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're safe, so I'm happy with the call.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, guys, I better get going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gregor.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday indeed.
Go chop it up.
Chop it up.
Chop.
I got a slight confession here, by the way. So talking about the old guys, we want to see do well at the World Cup. So I was putting this together like late Saturday. I've been writing a column too for Sportsnet about big questions leading up to the World Cup. And I actually picked Modric as well, Dubs, in that. But I thought I'd be devil's advocate and I was going to go Lewandowski. And it's late. I wasn't really thinking. And then I realized during our conversation that Poland actually aren't at the World Cup. So thankfully, I realized that before I made a complete arse of myself.
Well done.
There's a lot of teams.
You know, you would just assume that they'd be in.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I want to ask. Do they have an editor to proof you to go? Hey.
Yes, they do.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I didn't. I actually, you know, now you mention it. I may have mentioned Lewandowski in the I better send a quick email here. Hey Dubs, NSL, what a weekend.
Well, it was the Wednesday night match, and then yesterday, where again I mentioned earlier in the show, where AFC Toronto unable to get it done at home. Like BMO Field. This is them. Geez, are they 0-5 now? So AC Lang, friend of the show, WSoccer.ca, he's like, the curse is real. So this is a team, though, in AFC where they looked so good to start the season. It's only three matches in, but they've lost Esther Okoronkwo. She went down half an hour into their second game, and it's really affected the way that they attack, and it's really affected Kaylee Hunter, who was the bright star, I think, of year one, gets called in with the women's national team, the senior side. She'll play U20 World Cup this year, get a chance to really dominate at her own age group. But the decision-making that was there, the instinctiveness in the box, doesn't seem to be there this year. And they struggle. And then Elise Bennett for the Montreal Roses is the focal point that they so desperately needed to spark their attack. And she's delivering. She's scored now. I think she's on 4. Like she's doing really, really well. Like she's the talisman that they were missing last year.
And Ottawa in the midweek really put it to Vancouver.
Yes.
That was midweek.
Yeah, which
right?
feels like ages ago. But yeah, I called that one and that came really quick after the previous weekend. So a couple teams got a bye, but Vancouver reeling. So your inaugural champs, they lost big pieces like Holly Ward, like Lisa Petrusky, who's now playing for the Roses. They lost Spencer on the back end. Sam Chang obviously moved from the Rise over to AFC, but then did her ACL in the preseason. So they have not filled those gigantic gaping holes in the roster, especially in their starting 11.
And that's 4 goals against in 2 consecutive games, right? For the Rise?
I think they've conceded now, so 11 goals through 3 matches. Scored 2 in their opener, and then were blanked 4-0 in back-to-back games.
And taking nothing away from them, but I remember watching the final last year with you guys, and that first half, how they're being outplayed so dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And found a way to fight back and turn it around at halftime, right?
Yeah.
But there may have been some question marks then for sure. But hey, champions, the fans will give them a mug and maybe for a season perhaps. But it's still early, only 3 games in.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And I definitely respect Enya Heiner-Moeller and Quinn as the captain stepping up to the dais when it's difficult, when you've just been absolutely played off the pitch, 2 games running. I did the first one at Swangard to open it up on Champions Light night where they were beaten 3-2 by AFC Toronto. It looked good, but it could have been more. They could have conceded more. They don't, but they've kind of stepped up and they've said, listen, like we're going to find our way out of it the same way that we did last year. And so, Sharms, you mentioned the final, and it was difficult for them in the first half. They used the lightning delay to their advantage. It was a microcosm of their season because they were high highs and low lows, but they were resilient and it paid off in the end. But it's a different story now because they don't have the depth of roster that they did last year.
Lightning delay sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it?
It's true.
Ooh, not bad, Sharms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're out of time.
Okay.
What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Tuesday. When is the next broadcast, Dave? Dubs?
Tomorrow.
Tuesday.
It's tomorrow, right? Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out when are we doing our comment show. Maybe Wednesday.
Yeah. We've got some good comments.
Yeah. And give us some more comments from today's show. And we'll
love them.
Fire them up. Questions, debates, anything you want. We'll get to it.
Questions specifically to Jimmy this week, though, just because of his.
Sure. Yeah.
More questions.
Tell us what you want to hear.
We'll read some of the captionness stuff. Sorry, Sean.
Yeah, the caption stuff. Yes,
there's some good stuff that came out of that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. It's funny, actually, very quickly that, you know, we mentioned who we want to see do well this year's World Cup from the old guys. No one mentioned Ronaldo. Isn't that interesting? Still looking for his World Cup crown.
Who can set a record with his sixth World Cup, right?
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Messi's
got his, accolades.
Messi's got his trophy. So that, you know, I understand why you're not saying him, but Ronaldo, does he deserve it? Give us some comments.
Deserve. It's not about deserve. It's no, if you're cheering for him.
What he's contributed to the game.
Right.
Whether you love him or hate it, he's contributed a hell of a lot to the game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. Yes.
And does he, if he doesn't get a World Cup trophy, and he might, they're a really good team, Portugal, but if they don't, and he has to retire without a World Cup, that will sting. That will hurt him. Because forever he'll be in Messi's shadow simply because of that. It's an easy excuse to say.
He's playing until he's 65. We already talked about him and the stem cells he's been shooting up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're both aliens, he and Messi.
Yeah.
But very different aliens, different species.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But aliens nonetheless.
That's right.
Okay, that's Footy Prime. Thank you, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. We're back tomorrow with the broadcast and then a comment show on Wednesday. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
And we're out of here.
Judo chop.
Judo chop.
Judo chop. Ippon.
There's no chopping in judo.
Who does judo work for?